All right, welcome back to the Weekend Warrior Podcast. It is July 26, 2017. This is episode 13, I think. Lucky number 13. Yeah. As you know, we were picked up by WTP Sports, We the People Sports, so we're pretty excited about that. Also wanted to give a shout-out to MDOT for the intro and outro music. He can be found on Instagram or Twitter at MDOTBoston. He's also on Spotify, and you can catch his latest album on iTunes, Ego and the Enemy is the name of it. Before we get into us, we have a special guest today. As we told you last week, we have a gambling consultant coming on our show. Cousin Evan is coming on our show this week, so welcome, Evan, and we'll have some fun this week.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So our email and Twitter is the same. It's a Weekend War Pod, so it's Weekend with no E's, WKNDWARPOD. So that's our Twitter handle. Our email address is the same, at gmail.com. So that's WKNDWARPOD at gmail.com. Okay, so send us a tweet, send us an email, leave us a message on AIM, and do whatever you got to do to get in touch with us, all right? So with that being said, let's get right into it. All right, so we want to start with some MLB trade deadline stuff. Sox have already made one move for Eduardo Nunez, which we'll get into it, but I don't understand it. I really don't. They brought up Rafael Devers, who everyone seems to think is like the savior. Yeah. So I don't know if that's going to be the case or not. Did have his first career hit, which just happened to be a home run to dead center field today, which is pretty nice. I don't understand the Nunez thing. I realize he's hitting 300, but he's never hit 300 in his career for a whole season, at least. He's actually on my fantasy team, so he's doing pretty well. But, you know, beyond that, it's like, eh.
Well, he's an insurance policy. That's all he is.
I suppose.
Because, you know, you never know how Devers is going to do his first 100 at-bats.
In case Devers doesn't mark out.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, well, my question is now, what do they do at the corner? I think Moreland, he's starting to become a problem. He's now batting. I think he's batting like below 240.
Yeah.
Mitchie Two Bags hasn't really been doing much lately. For April. I mean, now they have a problem at the corners.
Do they do? Well, Mitchie Two Bags, I actually tweeted Jared Carabas. He didn't respond. Thanks a lot, Jared. But I tweeted Jared Carabas today. Mitchie Two Bags is turning into Mitchie Three Strikes, which, you know, isn't great. But I mean, you know, it's could be his new nickname as far as I'm concerned.
No, but I agree with you. I don't really understand why bring up Devers and then trade for Nunez the next day. I mean, don't you think one or the other, you're going to go with one or the other? Nunez is a starter, is he?
Right. You would think. I mean, he has been in San Francisco, so I don't know why.
Well, it's from the Bruins page of distractions. Just like, no one will talk about David Price anymore if we make a trade. So.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. We'll get into that douche.
Yeah.
But,
oh, we will. We will get into that.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what else they're looking for. I'd love a power hitter. Because that's still what they're lacking. I mean, Devers, you know, he's got 20 home runs in the minors, so maybe he can come and bring some pop. But, like, realistically, the kid's 20. Like, I don't know how much you can expect from him
power-wise. They need a cleanup hitter.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they need. They still haven't found David Ortiz's replacement.
Right.
And I don't think John Henry's interested in paying for one this year.
No.
I really don't think he wants to go over the luxury tax.
Edwin Encarnacion was the guy.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have been big money either.
Right.
They wouldn't have paid that much, and he would have been perfect. He would have hit like 50 home runs at Fenway.
Yeah.
The guy, all he does is hit home runs.
We're going to play him in the ALDS, and he's going to hit probably like 8 home runs for us.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah. Ugh, it's just ugly. And that's the thing, is that it's just stupid. The moves they've made are just ridiculous. And I'm sick of Dombrowski, to be honest with you. I just can't, like, I don't understand 3/4 of his moves. It just doesn't make any sense. Even look at Travis Shaw. Travis Shaw is killing the ball this year. And we traded him for nobodies, Tyler Thornburg, who's hurt and is done for the year and isn't playing. So now that's 2 years in a row that you've gotten a reliever who hasn't played.
Mm-hmm.
Carson Smith.
Yeah.
So who supposedly is going to be back at the end of this year, but who the hell knows? It's just like that one. Ugh, those two are just killers.
I don't know what they were thinking with the bullpen, because they let Ziegler go. They let Koji was kind of done. He's having a decent year. But. And the other guy, The other Japanese guy. I always forget his
name. Not
Okajima. Tozawa, yeah. Yeah, they let him go. I don't know how he's doing this year, but still. I mean, he kind of sucked.
He wasn't great. But, I mean, even just bringing back the kid that they got from Arizona, who you said, Ziggler. Even just bringing him back. I know he was old, but, like, so what? Bring him back 4 more years, a reliever. Like, he pitched fine for them.
They kept Abad.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was key. That was key. It's fucking terrible, dude. I don't understand it. I don't get it. So, I don't know. There are some names out there. Jay Bruce, maybe, but probably not. Too expensive, right? Dude, I would like, sell my soul to have them trade Price and bring back somebody. Like, I would fucking
Dodgers would like to have him, I bet.
I'd pay for David Price to go somewhere. Yeah, but then when you get in return, like, you got to get some. You have to get something back because you're relying on Price to be a starter for you.
Cody Bellinger.
No.
We'll give him some prospects.
That's not going to happen. I mean, you have to give him, like, all the prospects for that to happen.
I saw on 538 today, Dodgers were projected to win 109 games.
Jesus Christ.
And I can't remember a team this decade that's won more than
that. No, it was, what, the Mariners in 90...
Mariners were they 99? 2001. They 2001. Won 116.
Yeah, they were disgusting.
And then they got knocked out in the first round in the LCS. The Yankees.
Right. Yeah, they ended up. That was the year they lost the Diamondbacks, right?
Yeah.
I mean, dude, 109 would be stupid, and that team is ridiculous. I mean, the team's really good.
Oh, the lineup's really stacked. Good. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So you know, we'll see what happens, and then if Kershaw's out for a while, but even if he, I mean, they're going to win the division. The crazy thing is that you look at it, and I was looking at teams out west, and I'm like, oh, Arizona's out of it. They're 13 games out of first place. Oh, which meanwhile, they're
20 games over
500. Right. Yeah. So meanwhile, they're in the playoffs, but they're 13 games out of first place. It's just the freaking Dodgers are so damn good that it doesn't even matter, you know? So, it's wild. But, I mean, who knows? I mean, there are guys available. Supposedly, Yu Darvish is available. Supposedly, Sonny Gray is available. Supposedly, Jay Bruce and Giancarlo Stanton are all available. I don't know who the Red Sox are going to pick up. The thing that scares me the most is that if you don't pick up these guys, I feel like the Yankees are going to.
Right, yeah, it's starting to become an arms race again.
Right, and so if the Yankees start picking up those guys that you don't pick up, well now, what are they? Are they a game back now? So it's if they make themselves better and you don't get better, and they keep, because they've been on a roll.
See, that's the question, because now I think I'm waiting to see if the Yankees get a starter.
I think they will.
If they get
They'll get either Gray or Darvish.
If they get one of those big-name starters,
right,
then I start to worry about division being
absolutely
a question. I still think they're going to win the division as it is.
Right.
I don't think they're going to run away with it.
No, but it'll be close.
But I think it's going to be close. I think Tampa Bay might fall off a little.
Yeah.
But the Yankees, if the Yankees could get a starter, if they could get Yu Darvish, if they get one of those guys, give them something, I think the Yankees are going to, with that bullpen.
Yeah, the bullpen is going a lot better.
They could really, I think they can win the division.
Right.
Because that's how teams are doing it now, is that they're getting a 7th inning and 8th inning guy with a closer.
Yeah,
so Cleveland did it. That's how Kansas City did it a couple of years ago.
Yep.
Even though Chapman looked like shit when he came here. Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
But he's still dominant. Like, it doesn't matter what he looked like here.
Yeah,
he's still dominant. And I think if they pick up a pitcher like that, you probably lose a series to them. I would think. I don't know for sure, but I would think you probably lose a series to them.
To me, I think the Red Sox are done. If they don't make a move, and even if they do, I think there's just so many problems in the clubhouse that they're just going to implode.
I mean, can sort of feel it.
Yeah. Feels like September 2011 all over again.
Pick your year.
Yeah. No kidding.
I saw the stat today. When Chris Sale starts, they're 16-6.
Jesus.
And they're 10 games above 500. And when the rest of the starters, they're 500 ball
club. Yeah.
Him himself is 10 games above 500.
He's lucky he has that many wins. Because they give him zero run support at the time.
That's ridiculous. I mean, they give nobody any run support.
Yeah.
And Porcello's pitched, 20 games, and 10 of them have zero runs scored in them? Like, 10. And I know he hasn't pitched well, and we'll get into Porcello, don't get me wrong. But, like, when you, I feel like as a pitcher, it's different for you. When you go out and you know you're not getting any run support, you, like, try harder, I feel like, almost. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And if that's the case, then you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You know? So...
when you're scoreboard watching almost. When you're right. worried about other things instead exactly. of just pitching the
right.
ball.
You're worried right, about yeah. giving up a
yeah.
run.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, I have to be perfect.
Right.
You know, and then if you're not perfect, then you get all worked up about it. It's concerning. So we'll see. We'll see what they do. It's the 31st, which is, I believe, is that Monday?
Next Monday.
Yeah.
I think 4 o'clock.
Okay. So Monday at 4. So the next time we log on here, everything will be done. Then they have the waivers thing or whatever. Yeah. But that
which I think no if they're going to trade Price, it'll be in that time.
You think so?
Yeah. Like after July 31st.
But then you'll get nothing back for him.
I don't care.
Well, I agree with that. But look.
Here's what I want. And no one else is going to agree with me, but I want Miguel Cabrera for David Price, and I'd throw in JBJ.
I wouldn't throw in JBJ.
I would.
Why, though?
Why not? The Price is probably going to opt out after next year anyways. Might as well get something, and whereas Cabrera still has years left in his deal, and I think he has good years left in him. He's been down this year, but if he's playing at Fenway every day...
Oh, I love him. I love his swing at Fenway.
Oh, he's disgusting.
He hit 40 at Fenway.
But... JBJ is like, JBJ is the best defensive center fielder in the game, right?
Doesn't win you games, doesn't score you runs.
I agree.
Prevents runs, but
I do agree with that. But I just feel
Avery Bradley.
Well, okay, that's true. But then I don't know. I mean, look, in order for that to happen, I guess Cabrera's contract's so big that they just have to exchange contracts, right?
That's why it works.
The money matches up.
Yeah.
Shit, dude, you're right.
Do it. And it's Cabrera can wear 24. It's perfect.
Oh, my Lord. Look at that. It's just even. Don't even have to fucking do anything. Just give me the same jersey. Just fucking rip the Price name tag off and put up the... I don't know, man. Then who do you put in center? That's what it comes down to, right?
You put in center. Go make another trade with
someone
else. So then
what? Chris Young is a starter for you?
No, not Chris Young. You can go out and get... I don't know. Nunez plays out.
Jay Bruce.
You can get Jay Bruce.
Jay Bruce. There it is. Problem solved.
Ruzne's been killing it in Pawtucket.
Has he?
Yeah.
Stop it.
He's been killing it down there.
God.
Could you imagine?
That's an absolute disgrace.
Well, at some point with him, you have to bring him up. You have to.
Well, I don't know what the deal is with him. He might have a clause in it where he doesn't get paid as much if he's in Pawtucket.
Extremely doubtful.
You think so?
Yeah. When the hell did anyone sign a contract?
Wishful thinking.
No one signed a contract like
that.
He's
played like 20 games up here.
It doesn't matter. The baseball players union would never let a player sign a contract like that. There's no chance.
Yeah, they do.
That guy's getting paid a shitload of money to do nothing in AAA. Just like Pablo did last year.
I just said.
Well, I mean, he's not helping the Red Sox. He might be helping the Paw Sox, but that doesn't do any good to anyone. Look, I think at some point you have to at least bring him up and just say, we got to try it. And we're paying the guy so much freaking money that, like, at a certain point, you're just like, all right, fine, just try it. See what happens. And then if you suck, then what are we going to do?
Well, I mean, I wonder if he would put up the same numbers as Bradley.
Bradley hitting 280, 270.
Yeah, but he's not putting up power numbers, really.
No, he's got 10 home runs.
Yeah.
Well, last year he had...
Well, that's true. That is true.
But I think if you hide Castillo in, like, the ninth spot or even the eighth spot, maybe...
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad plan. If that plan happens, dude, I'll lose my mind if they trade Price and JBJ and bring up Bruce. I mean, it's not a bad plan. I really think... I read on Twitter today, and I don't remember who wrote it, so I apologize for whoever said this, but... You know, that David Price is the 2017 version of Nomar in 2004.
Yeah, Jimmy Stewart wrote that.
It's almost... Was it Jay Stewart? Yeah. Okay. So it's almost just like addition by subtraction. Mm-hmm. Just get him the fuck out of there because he's such a head case and he's such a cancer in the clubhouse that you just can't have him in there anymore. Mm-hmm. That's how it feels like. That's what it feels like. And Jay Stewart even wrote today, too, like, Sale and Price hate each other. Like, it just seems like Sale and Price hate each other. So if your best player in your team hates this guy... And he's a bad influence on all your young guys. Just get him the fuck out of there. Just because, like, that's the worst thing that you can have is a cancer in the clubhouse, especially from when it's one of your biggest paid guys.
Yeah.
I think the question is, if you were to get rid of him, who starts every fifth day? That's the thing. They have zero pitching prospects coming up in the system.
Man,
that's
true. Really screwed.
That is true.
They can't draft a pitcher for their life. They get that groom kid, but he's like 15 years old, and he's in like single A.
And his father got arrested
trafficking
drugs. That was a bizarre story.
Yeah.
That was wild. That was a bizarre story. I read that and I was like, what the hell? His father was like 42 or something crazy young too.
Yeah, bizarre.
Yeah, that was
I mean, you know, I don't know. Remember when Henry Owens was like the next guy?
Yeah,
when they wouldn't trade anybody for Henry Owens for anybody, and like he was the hottest prospect ever, and then he came up and was absolutely garbage.
Yeah,
couldn't throw a strike. Still can't.
I don't know how they. It just makes me sick. Anyways, Red Sox, you're in trouble. But I think the Yankees are going to build, and if the Red Sox don't, they're in serious trouble.
Well, I asked this to someone the other day. Who would you rather be right now, the Red Sox or the Yankees? The
Yankees.
100%.
The Yankees every single time?
100%. They got Judge. They have the catcher.
Sanchez.
They got Frazier. Right? They got Severino. Mm-hmm. They got a ton of young guys. Whereas the Red Sox have a ton of young guys as well, but the Yankees also have a farm system.
They have farms, but the Yankees do have somewhat similar to what you have. They've got some bad contracts. Ellsbury's a bad contract for them.
Yeah, he is.
That's true.
And they've got 2 or 3 years left to him.
Chapman's a bad contract.
I don't think he's a pure closer. Watched him after when he came in here at Fenway 2 weeks ago, and he seems like similar to Miller last year on the Indians, where you just bring him in somewhere in the game to try and get 1 or 2 outs and get it, get out of a jam for an inning. I think that's what he's better
at. He sucked in the World Series, too. They used him a lot.
That's a good question. Did Madden burn him?
Probably did.
I think he did, too. Yeah. He overused him, especially in the World Series.
It's Game 6. I think they were up, like, 6 runs, and they still put him in there.
Yep. Yeah. In Game 7, Madden almost choked away that World Series.
That would have been unbelievable.
Oh my god, what a game. That was a great series.
Yes it was. So all right, so listen, I think it's time for our weekly call
to Jose.
So let's get your phone out.
Yeah, we'll ask him about the David Price situation.
All right, so we're gonna give Jose a call. And
hello.
Hi, Jose. Hi, this is Pat. We're calling from the Weekend Warrior Podcast. How's it going?
Good, how you doing?
Good, thank you. We actually we left you a message last week. I don't know if you got it or not, but we're actually on our air. We're not live or anything like that, but we're on our air. We just figured we'd give you a call. We're talking some baseball, and we thought who better to talk baseball with than Jose Canseco.
I'm actually about to catch a flight now. What do you mean talk baseball? I'm at the airport right now.
Oh, you're in the airport right now?
Real quick. Yeah. Jose, Mike Lane going Weekend Warrior Podcast. What do you think?
I can't even hear you right now. You have to call me tomorrow. We're about to board a flight. I can barely hear you.
Oh, okay. All right.
We'll give you a call tomorrow. Thanks.
Have a safe flight, Mr. Canseco. Oh, he hung up. Dude, he's full of shit. He's not going on.
He fucking answered though, dude.
Yeah, what a nut.
Jose Canseco on the airwaves
at the
Weekend Warrior Podcast at the airport, flying somewhere. I don't know where he's flying, but he's flying somewhere. That's our first real interview on the podcast. We told him we were on the podcast. We told him we were on the air. We're using that, baby.
Yeah.
Holy shnikes.
He said call him tomorrow.
Call him tomorrow. We'll give him a call tomorrow.
I'll give him a call.
We'll have to set it back up and give him a call and record that.
That was wild.
Okay. So we didn't get any actual questions.
I wasn't expecting that.
But that's our weekly call to Jose. And we'll have to do that again next week. That was unexpected. Unbelievable. All right. Okay. Jose Canseco, member of the Weekend Warrior crew.
So, Weekend Warrior family.
That's right. So, all right. So, let's transition after that. That's a tough transition, man. Let's transition into the NFL. So, we're going to the NFL. We've got our top 5 teams in the NFL here. So, I'll start. So, obviously, these are division winners, and then we're going to have our buys as well. So I have 2 NFC teams, so that'll be my 2 buy teams in the NFC, and I have 3 AFC teams. So for number 2 team in the NFC would be the Bucks. They're my number 5 team. I think they got a young QB in Winston. They got a solid offense, a solid defense. They're young, and they're fast. I mean, they're fat. Mike Evans is disgusting, and they added DeSean Jackson. They added a few players here and there. They added a tight end. Did they add Howard?
The OJ, kid from
OJ Howard, right from Miami, right?
Miami.
No, from Alabama, right. Miami was in JUCO. Yeah. He went to Cleveland.
DeSean Jackson.
And they had DeSean Jackson. So they're going to be. I know, but he's fast. He can take the top off the defense.
They're
in that offense, they're going to put up a ton of points. So the Buccaneers are my number 5 team. 4 for me. This is the number three team in the AFC is Pittsburgh. I think Big Ben's getting old, but they still have a lot of talent. I mean, Jesus, they probably have the two best skill position players in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you have that, even if your team is getting old, you have the best running back and the best wide receiver in the NBA, in the NFL. It's tough to not put them at, you know.
They have Bryant coming back from.
And they have Bryant coming back from his second year.
And Bell on a contract year, right?
Right. He's going to be disgusting.
He's
going to
light up.
And he's going to get
paid. So that's going to be interesting. So we'll see what happens with the Steelers. My number one team in the NFC is my number three team overall. That's the Pack. Two words there, Aaron Rodgers. That's it. Aaron Rodgers, all you need to know. The offense has improved. They added Marty B, a tight end. They're going to be a better offense than they were overall, I think. Ty Montgomery, dude, was disgusting at running back last year. He's going to be really good at running back this year, too, I think. So we'll see what happens. And then the D's getting a little bit better. I mean, you know, it's the Packers. They're not much better on defense, but they're a little bit better. Number two team overall, number two team in the AFC is the Raiders. You know, they're a tough team, man. They have a ridiculous offensive line. They're really dependent. I think they're really dependent on Lynch. Mm-hmm. Because if Lynch is nasty this year, they're going to be, like, almost impossible to beat.
He's fresh, too.
Well, right.
Yeah.
I mean, fresh, fat. It's one of those. I mean, who knows? But I mean, but if Carr comes back healthy,
that's the question.
They're going to be tough, right? That's the question. If Carr is not healthy, maybe he's never the same. I don't know. So we'll see what happens with Carr. And then with Cooper and Crabtree at the wide receivers.
Yeah, you have to remember, if Carr doesn't get hurt, he's coming here for the AFC Championship.
Right. And then it's a whole new ballgame.
It's a whole new conference if he doesn't get hurt.
Right. So, and then the Patriots, it's just stupid. Nobody's close. Nobody is close. Yeah. On paper, nobody's close. You know, there's a lot of people flying around about the 16-0, perfect season, blah, blah, blah. Brian Bilko's listening to the Cover 2 podcast today. Shout out Don Banks and, well, it used to be Chris Price, but he's gone. He went to BSJ, so it's Nick Stevens. That's it. That's his name. Anyways, they were interviewing Brian Billick, and Brian Billick said, I would never predict someone to go 16-0. However, I'd have no idea what game they're going to lose. And so, you know, I feel the same way. Like, I'm not going to say they're going to go 16-0 because that's crazy, but I look at their schedule and I'm like, where are they going to lose?
Maybe in Denver. Raiders.
Maybe the Raiders, but the Raiders is in Mexico. It's not even in Oakland. So it's like, it's a neutral site, basically, you know?
And aren't they playing the week before in Denver?
In altitude.
And they're doing that thing where they stay the week. Yep, so they're going to have to. 2 weeks.
Absolutely.
I feel like that usually works out better for them.
Because
they did that 3 years ago, if you remember. They went to San Diego, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And they practiced that week in San Diego. Yep. And then they came out and whoop the Chargers
on
Sunday Night Football.
Right.
And that got them going in the second half of the year. I love those 2 week trips. I feel like that's like bonding trips for the guys.
And the other part of it too is that the hard thing about Mexico is that it's in altitude.
Right.
Well, they're playing the week before in Denver in altitude. And then they're gonna stay in Denver in altitude. So they're gonna be prepared for it, whereas the Raiders aren't gonna be prepared for it. And so I think they actually have the advantage over the Raiders in Mexico. So that's my top five. Go ahead,
top
Mike.
Five. I have five. I have Seattle. Did you have Seattle?
We talked about. Well, yeah. I have Seattle making the playoffs, but I had them last week.
I got Atlanta at four.
Okay.
Because I think they're kind of like, I don't know. They could go like 13-3, but they have like, you know, the weapons too.
They're a disgusting team, and that defense is a year better and a year older. You would think they're going to be nasty.
Yeah.
But again, the only question we talked about last week, the only question is how do they recover mentally? So we'll see.
I got Green Bay at three. I think they're the best team in the NFC.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers. Yep. Pittsburgh at two for the reasons you were saying with Brown and Bell. And I do have the New England Patriots at number one.
Yeah. I mean, tough to argue.
Do you?
I do, yeah. I wanted to put Washington, but that would just be a big lie.
Redskins fan in the house.
Yeah.
All right, so for my top five, I'm going to go off the board at five. I'm going to take Kansas City.
Okay.
I don't think they'll ever beat the Patriots.
No, but...
But for some reason, every single year, they seem to sort of get the win totals. They have, like, every year they go on those 5-6 game winning streaks.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So they're always around, and it's one of those things where, I don't know, I agree. I think they're going to, Patriots are probably going to win at least 14, 15 games.
Right.
Wouldn't it be crazy if they lost the first game? Patriots
never.
And just everyone would just
shut
up.
It would be wild, but it would never happen. Not in that atmosphere, dude. They've had four
people
of them now,
take
and they've
that
never
hard
lost.
If they lost that game.
If they lost that game, it would be disastrous.
No, there's no chance.
Yeah, it would be pretty disastrous if they lost that game.
But
I mean,
in Kansas, I don't see Kansas City ever, you know, coming out the number one seed. But last year we almost thought Kansas City was going to be one seed.
They ended up being,
they ended up getting the two seed.
Yeah.
You know, I the only scenario I see the Patriots losing is if they have to go to a Kansas City in the playoffs or have to go to an Oakland.
That's still a tough place to play.
That, to me, the home field for another team, just like Denver four years ago. So I have them at five. I've got Oakland at four.
Okay.
I think Carr coming back from the injury, I'm not quite sure if they're going to pick off where they, you know, back from November or whatnot. They could, though.
So they're your number two team. So you have Kansas City. So see, this is interesting because I like how you did it here, because we kind of had – I had my top five as like all the division winners. Kansas City obviously in this case is a division winner. However, you think that they're better than the other two division winners. Like you think they're better than Pittsburgh and better than – I don't know, you have one in the South, maybe Tennessee.
I mean, if you remember
but,
around Thanksgiving last year, it was sort of a three-man race in the AFC.
It was. You're right about that.
It was Oakland, it was Kansas City, and it was the Patriots.
Yeah,
right.
And, you know, I think the Patriots are better than those two teams.
Right.
But I can see a three-man race like last year.
Right, right.
So I've got them at, I've got the Raiders at four. Number three, I've got Atlanta.
Yep.
I think they have huge bust potential.
Oh yeah, it could be
like the Carolina Panthers this year where they
can go 8-8.
The key is the start for them because they have to get over that Super Bowl loss. Mm-hmm. If they go 2-3-4-0, I think they're going to get their swagger back and that offense is
the good news
ridiculous.
For them. Is they're playing, like, I think the team I had at 31, which is the Bears, in week one.
Oh, yeah.
And so they're just going to fucking murder
They're going to need.
Which they're absolutely going to need. Because they do have some really tough games after week one.
But they are fast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They are, offensively, they are ridiculous. But, new coach on offense.
Right. So we'll see.
You never know. You don't have Shanahan in there now. I still have them at three. I have Green Bay at two. Just like you said, Rodgers.
Right,
I mean he's probably the best player in the league. If you go, I know you probably
disagree,
but if you watch that Dallas game in the playoffs last year, he was making throws that were just.
Well, Espy said it was the play of the year, play of the year, his throw.
Play of the year,
his throw.
Were you pissed
his throw
about
on
that?
Sideline was play of the year. Well, I mean
the Edelman catch.
The Edelman catch was clearly the play of the year.
Right,
I mean the Rodgers play was unbelievable. But the Edelman catch was clearly the play of the year. I mean, look, the only thing you need to know about the ESPYs, we're going to do a quick ESPN tangent right here because the ESPYs are a fucking joke. The only thing you need to know about the ESPYs is that Tom Brady wasn't nominated for Male Athlete of the Year. Forget about winning. He wasn't even nominated for Male Athlete of the Year, dude. And he... Shut up.
You can't have a...
No, get out of here with that, dude. He led the greatest comeback in the history of the NFL that literally one person in the history of the NFL could lead that comeback, and he did it.
Then he went 13-1 as a starter.
And he went 13-1 as a starter. 13-1. Decent.
Probably should have won that Seattle game.
They should, right. But, I mean, they didn't, so whatever, spin zone. But, I mean, you know, but like... Yeah. I mean, the fact he wasn't nominated was a fucking joke.
Yeah, obviously.
So, but that's the way it goes.
And
that's
then my number one team, obviously, is the Patriots. They went 17-2 last year, and they're better. Period. They're better.
It's just stupid.
And those two games that they lost, we just talked about the Seattle game. And the other game was Buffalo, where you had Jacoby Brissett playing with a broken hand.
Yeah.
I mean, and what was that, like October 1st or whatever?
Yeah. It was October 1st. Yep, that was the date.
And then the other game was the Seattle game, which the Patriots, if you rewatch that game, they just... fell apart on the goal line.
Did.
That game should have been going to overtime, but
yeah, for sure.
That was a good game. That was the Patriots' defense at its worst last year too. After that game, they sort of turned it on.
Yep.
Those two losses, you wiped them off the board. I really think they're better this year, offensively, defensively. I mean, they have the exact same coaching staff. Essentially, they lost the one guy to Alabama.
Right.
But other than that,
they're going to be.
They went 8-0 on the road last year.
They're on the road.
Who does that?
I mean, that's the thing, is that they were that good. And the Bills, you mentioned Brissett. I think people have been unfairly hard on Brissett. I mean, as a rookie, he came into that Texan game. And granted, he didn't really throw the ball much in that Texan game. Although he did break his freaking thumb, like, in the middle of the game.
In the middle of the game.
But even still, he ran for a touchdown in that game. And I thought, as a leader, he was good.
Fun fact about that game, that was like the first game I went to for the Patriots in probably 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
And I went with some of my coworkers. We actually had 6 seats front row. And I, on the way to the game, I bet Jacoby Brissett 16-1 odds to score the first touchdown in the game. And when he rolled out to the right, ran into the end zone untouched, it was probably one of the best.
Now you see, this is why you're the gambling consultant.
Yeah,
this is why.
Yeah, that was
it.
That was a good
16-1 odds. That's fucking unbelievable, dude. And look,
and then the next night I lost it betting the Red Sox, and I was miserable for a week.
Should have done that.
See, can never bet on the fucking Red Sox.
That's the way it goes.
But look, I mean, you know, Brissett, I feel like. The Texans game, he played great. And then the Bills game, he didn't do anything. And people are like, well, it's a watered-down offense, and that's all Brissett could do. It's like, dude, he couldn't even grip the football. His thumb was ripped apart. He couldn't even grip the ball. Like, what the hell do you expect them to do?
No, they almost, like, punted on that game, too. They were very conservative. And they sort of knew, like, that they knew, all right, let Buffalo win. It doesn't really give
you anything. I was shocked. I was actually shocked that Jimmy G didn't play that game. I was really surprised.
That was a big story.
14 days later that Jimmy G didn't play. It's one of the concerns that I have about Jimmy moving forward if he's tough enough to play. Because remember, Brady did the same thing his second year, or in 02.
Oh, yeah.
He was 02.
Miami.
And he played through it, didn't even miss a game.
Yeah.
And so it was the same exact injury on the I think his is still on the throwing shoulder, I believe. Mm-hmm. And he played through it. And so it's like, Jimmy G can't play through it. Now, I understood the Thursday night game. I got that. But 2 weeks later, I'm like, this guy's going to be ready to go. Now, the only thing I can think of, because the reports say he was pissed. The only thing I can think of is the Patriots said, buddy, you're not playing. It's close. You're not playing.
They have plans for him.
Because you're not coming back anyways. So why the fuck are we going to risk you getting hurt?
That was a shit
show,
you know? That was a big, big
one. It was a huge deal. So
you think if you started Edelman that game, maybe they win?
Probably not.
They only lost 16-0.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, shoot, dude, if Brissett holds on to the football, if Brissett's carrying the ball with his left hand, which isn't broken as opposed to his right hand when he's running and doesn't fumble, they might win the game anyway. It's just like, it's just, I mean, that's how bad the Bills were. They had no quarterback and they still almost won the fucking game. But anyways, I digress. So that's pretty good. So our number one team is all the same. We have pretty much the same people up there, Packers, Steelers. Although you didn't have the Steelers,
I wrote 6-10. I had the Steelers, that second tier.
Yeah, and so, you know, so
they'll play their zone defense and whatever, and they'll come in here and they'll lose by 30.
Right.
So it doesn't really matter.
That's exactly what's going to happen. And we all had the Packers. We all had the Packers, Raiders, and Pats up there. And then we, you know, two of us had the Steelers. A few people I had the Bucks, and you guys both had the Falcons. And so, which I think they're all plausible. Again, we talked about the AFC South last week, or we've been talking about the AFC South for a few weeks now. The most volatile division in football, I feel like.
It could be the best division or the worst.
It really could be. It could be, you could have, you know, three teams win 10-plus games, or you could have three teams go, you know, 8-8 and a team go 6-10.
Yeah.
Somebody, who knows? So, anyway, so let's get into you, Evan. We got our best over-under. What do you think of the best bets for over-under here?
Well, I mean, obviously, I think... I'm going to go with the hometown. Over 12.5, New England Patriots. I think it's free money.
Okay.
I don't see how they lose three games.
They bumped that up, didn't they? Wasn't that... It used to be 11.5. Did it open at 11.5?
I think it opened at 12, and then they moved it to 12.5. I think that... I don't really understand. I was actually surprised. I think it should be 13.5. But it's 12.5.
12.5 is the highest in the history of the NFL.
Right.
And you think it should be higher, and it probably should.
It should be higher.
But I mean, Jesus. Okay. Yep. So easy money there.
Was the one that I really, I'm pretty confident in that one. I try to go off the board to teams that I think are going to make, like, jumps.
Okay.
And the one team I have is Tampa Bay.
Yep.
Over 8.5. 8.5 wins. They're at 8.5.
Yeah. Oh, that's easy.
I think they're probably... That wild, they last year they were in the running for a wild card.
Yeah.
I don't know how many they won last year,
but I think they won 9 games. They won 8 or 9 games.
Depending on what happens to Atlanta, you know how we talked about if Atlanta were to ever have that Carolina like fall off of it year, although that division's kind of competitive,
right?
Not many easy games in that division.
No, there are not.
You know what? New Orleans always going to give you the game.
Yeah,
especially in New Orleans.
I think Winston with that new offense with Deshaun Jackson with. That Howard from Alabama. I think they're a sneaky team to sneak in at what 5 or 6 in the wild card. I think they're going to win.
Yeah.
I think they're going to win at least 10 games.
Well,
so 8.5 to me. That's the one that. Those are the two that I really think. And then a lot of people like Tennessee. I know USA Today. Did you see that USA Today?
Yeah.
Patriots 16-0. They had Tennessee 12-4.
Yeah.
Their over-under is at 8.5. So that, to me, that one is an interesting
the Tennessee
one as well.
Over-under. I'd pound that over, too, because I think they're going to win that division.
The other thing that I look at, I actually got the divisional prices. Okay. So me and my buddies have been trying to think, you know, what if we all pooled together some money and made, like, division bets and parlayed them together or whatnot. Because, you know, you got to think, you like...
Do
we
me a
all,
favor.
We all like the Packers, right?
Explain what a parlay is, just briefly.
So a parlay, typically, if you make one bet, you bet on a game. Say you like the Patriots, 6.5. You bet on the Patriots. A parlay is when you combine more than one bet together. So say I like the Patriots in this game, and I like the Packers in this game. You parlay them together. They both have to win. And if they both win, you win. And the prices get better if you parlay. So you can make 2, 3, 4 games, 5 games, 6 game parlays or whatever.
And you get better odds.
And the odds improve. Right. So the payouts are way better.
Right.
I love parlays. Parlays, especially college football.
Yeah.
College football, you go through, you pick, you know, 6 or 7 of the best teams.
Right.
And you parlay them together and you can get 3, 4 to 1 odds and you just, all day, you can just watch games.
All right. All right, so give us your division line.
Well, the division one, that the NFC South, Falcons 8-5 odds. They're the favorites. Panthers at 2-1. Bucks at 4-1. See, those are the things, you know, everyone's bunched together like that. I'm a little surprised.
Yeah.
The one I think my, like, long shot,
yeah,
I think, is anything. NFC West, the Rams, 25-1.
Oh.
That one, to me, is the most exciting because I think the Rams, without Fisher...
Yeah,
I know their offense was atrocious last year, but they still have Todd Gurley. They've got their quarterback that they drafted number one 2 years ago.
Goff,
whatever.
Yeah.
And they've got they had a loaded defense.
Right.
They do. And they've got all those draft picks from that RG3 trade. Now they're in LA. I think
they have all those draft picks. They have one left.
And I think that division
But they got the coach.
They did get the coach. That's true. They stole the coach.
I think that division is one that could be up for grabs.
Yeah, because I could see Seattle imploding.
They're a good team, but it seems like they get in, and if they get in, it's usually they're playing well second half of the year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They seem to always struggle early on.
Yeah, they haven't... I don't think they've had a bye in the last few playoffs.
They haven't, My cousin Artie, who was on the show a few weeks ago, he texted me after listening to last week's podcast and was like, thank you for being down on Seattle, because... He feels the same way. He's down in Seattle. You're down in Seattle. I just think Seattle's taking a step back this year, and I'd be shocked if the Rams won that division, because I think next in line is the Cardinals. Even though their quarterback blows, they have probably the best player in the division in David Johnson, and so I think they're kind of next in line. But, I mean, shit, the Rams? I mean,
the only thing is you're banking the Arizona. You're banking on what? How old?
Carson Palmer. He's younger than Brady.
He is younger than Brady. Yeah. He's broken his legs more times.
No, that's true. I mean,
playoff games.
He's just, you know, he falls apart in big games and everything like that. But I just think if that division implodes and you end up with a 7-9 or 8-8 division winner, as we've seen happen in the NFC West from time to time, if that happens, shit, maybe the Rams sneak in and you bet, you know, $15 on the Rams and you make a shitload of money.
See, those are the ones that are like a lot of fun.
Right.
You know, those are the ones that you're like, no one really expects it. Guy said this to someone, and they were like, the Rams. They're like, the Rams suck. I'm like, I know. They haven't won more than 8 games in, like, a decade. But Fisher's gone. That's
huge.
You like, have a completely different team there with him not at the helm.
Yeah.
Well, think about it this way. If you put $20 on the Rams, you win $500 if you win the division. Yeah. I mean, that's like a no-brainer.
Right.
So what the fuck? You put $20 on them. And if they win the division, you win $500. It's like, and then you lose $20 if they don't. And then maybe you like they go 2-14. You're like, fuck, that was stupid. But like, you know, it's $20. It's like whatever. You
if
know?
You're wondering, the Patriots are 1-14 odds, which means you have to bet $14 to make $1.
To make $1.
So if you're betting $100,
I like those odds.
If you're bad at math, what's the saying?
Yeah, if you're bad at math.
If you're bad at math. Yeah. If you're betting $100, you're not even gonna make what, $6-7 back.
Yeah. That's really the thing. And so, just so you people understand this, because I didn't understand this at first because I'm an idiot. But like, if you're 14-1, he says you're betting $14 to get $1 back. That means you walk away with $15. Like you get your money back, but then you only win $1 extra. So it's like,
those are off. It's those stupid. Are 1 to 14 odds are very rare.
Yeah.
That's well, a it's heavy, like, heavy it's basically favorite.
Guaranteed to win the AFC East, which is the one thing the NFC South has going for them this year, is that they're playing the AFC East and the rest of the division blows. So they got that.
Oh, that's true.
That's
yeah.
true, and that should inflate. You'd think you that would think, inflate.
Because that's at least two easy wins, probably three, depending on the Dolphins.
Although the Dolphins, they are kind of a... I mean, they snuck into the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. They rallied off, like, what, 8, 9 wins in a row.
Right. They were close. I think they were just out of my top 12. I think... Did you have them as a playoff team? I think you had them.
I did, yeah.
Just as a borderline, just yeah. So, I mean, I'm the same way. I think I had them 13. So, it's like, they're I like around their
coach.
There, right?
I like their coach.
Yeah, me too.
Not that I like them, like, as the Dolphins. I'm not... I hate the Dolphins.
Right.
But I sort of... I think they're heading in the right direction.
Right.
I agree. Although we... Isn't it every year... Like, as a Patriots fan, there's always one team.
Every
single year, there's one team in the division you just say, well, you know, look out. I feel like last year was like, well, look out for the Bills. You know, right. This is the Bills year.
It was the Jets for years.
And every single year, it was the Jets. Yeah. And then every single year, like, this is technically the year Miami's getting, you know, they made the playoffs last year. This is the year the Dolphins go 6-10.
Right.
Just historical standards.
Well, it's funny because someone, I think it was Freezing Cold Takes, at Old Takes Exposed, who's a great follow, but... He asked somebody, he's like, you know, is this the year Ryan Tannehill makes the leap? And I was like,
no.
I feel like we ask this question every
year.
Like, it's just
him,
like,
and Blake Bortles.
Know. So, Blake Bortles.
Blake Bortles. Yeah, last year, Jacksonville was the sexy pick.
Yeah.
They worked.
They sucked.
Shit, Jacksonville could win the fucking division. I mean, they could. Open. You never know.
Yeah,
the
South
blows this year. So, I mean, unless you want to go Tennessee. I mean, I think... I have Tennessee in the division. I have Tennessee win the division 8.5. I'm pounding that 8.5. What's Tennessee's odds here for the South?
For the South, Tennessee is, let's see, AFC South, Titans 2-1 odds. See, they got the Colts and the Texans as co-favorites.
Okay.
So to me, that goes with the health of Luck.
Right, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
And he's missing the preseason or something like
that? Yeah, he's...
That's a bad sign. Yeah.
He hasn't thrown a ball all offseason. It's great. Great news.
Really?
Great news for the Colts. Yep. Hasn't thrown a ball all offseason. Came out and said that. Not one.
That is...
It's not...
And they have zero backup plan.
Well, you know what the real issue, and we've talked about this in the podcast, is that he's doing 5 to 7 step drops. He should be doing three steps and out.
If
you can't protect him, quick passes, and it's like, they just refuse to do that. And so until they're willing to change that, they're stuck. Because
like
that doesn't work.
They have like a small wide receiver core too. Not like
they do.
Physically small.
Yeah. Right.
They've got
right.
a lot of
T.Y.
guys.
T.Y. small.
That
the kid they drafted in the first round 2 years ago is pretty
Phil
small.
Phil Dorsett, right?
Yeah, Dorsett. He's
a
small. Like,
bust.
Oh, Lord.
He's an epic
they're
bust.
Stupid.
I can't. Honestly, though, there's not a team that I root for more to lose than I think it's the Colts.
Yeah.
Just everything about them, I really don't like.
The Colts, the Steelers.
I mean, you can name them
the
off.
Jets.
I mean, Dallas Cowboys.
Dallas. Yeah. Ah, well, yeah. You mean as the Redskins.
Actually, anyone in the NFC East, really, minus the Skins.
Of course.
Well, that division, too, is wide open.
Yeah.
Wide open. Although, I think the Giants are winning the division.
Well, oof.
Because I think the Cowboys are taking a step back.
That's I think that's absolutely. They're going to. Yeah. They go 13-3 last
13-3,
year. There's
yeah.
no way. That's
so I think
happening.
They take a step back. They win probably 10 games, and I think that the Giants can win 11 and win the division.
Giants beat them both times last year.
Yeah. Yep. So that's why I just think, you know, even if they both finish 10-6, maybe they beat them twice again this year,
right.
And they both finish 10-6, but the Giants win the division. But I feel like that's what's going to happen.
And Philly played well at the beginning of the last year.
Yeah, when
they
were
like 4-0, 5-0 or something.
They
yeah.
could.
Minnesota was too.
Yeah, that's well. That was Sam Bradford. Yeah. Is he their quarterback again?
He is,
yeah.
Teddy Bridgewater, his injury was so bad, he's probably going to miss this year, too.
Ugh,
that's how bad his injury
Christ.
Was. I mean, just like, I can't even believe it. I mean, they said people were, like, puking on the sideline.
Yeah.
It was that bad. Like, really that bad that his knee just, like, disintegrated. It was just, I can't even imagine. So, the people, like, crying on the side. They ended practice, dude.
Yeah.
They were, like, cancel the rest of the practice. Oh, holy shit. No thanks. So, all right, well, we're running way over, so let's transition here. We have a David Price-inspired segment here, which I think should be a lot of fun to talk about. Basically, here's the exercise. We're dumping one starter on each team, one starter on each Boston sports team. Have to dump somebody. and when I say starter, it doesn't have to necessarily be a starter, but it has to be someone that plays starters' minutes.
Like not Ruslan Castillo.
Exactly.
I could dump him, but he...
Right, but it doesn't matter.
He's
right?
already been
so
dumped.
Yeah. Right, and so it has to be someone who's like in the rotation, right? So for the Celtics, it's not like Tyler Zeller. Like, yeah, he's on the team, but like he's not playing. You know what I mean? So it doesn't really count. He may not be, but you know, you get the
point. I think he's gone.
So, but anyways, so that shows you how much Tyler Zeller means to me. So, anyways,
he sucked.
You want to start, Evan? We'll start with the Celtics.
We'll start with the Celtics. I've got Al Horford, no question about it. He signed. He's he's already 31 years old. He's got three more years left on his deal: 27.7, 28.9, and 30.1. Oh, that to me is
Jesus.
And that cap in the league is what around 100 million. Something so you got 30% of your cap to one guy who, for max money, he's not a max guy.
He's not a max guy.
And I worry about him. You know, I watched the finals. And remember how fast the finals were up and down the court, the transition game? I don't think he's built for that.
No,
I think he's built for the half court.
So awkward.
Exactly. He doesn't really have – I don't love his shot.
Me neither.
You know – he's not like Garnett. Garnett was money from out. Like, you knew Garnett, you
top
liked
key,
him taking
he was
those
hitting
shots.
That every
he was
single
cash.
Time.
He was absolutely cash.
And even in crunch time, almost especially.
Horford, I don't love his shot. I guess his defense and his I like his leadership. I like him in the locker room.
Right.
I think he's a good addition, but I just worry about the end of that contract.
Yeah.
I really worry. I think that is going to be.
Is there an opt out anywhere?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
There might be the fourth year. A lot of those guys, a lot of those contracts, fourth year is the player option. But he was my guy as the Celtics. I just think that I think in two or three years you're gonna regret having that big number.
Because if they make a big three, is he even part of the big three?
He's not even an All Star.
He's not.
Wick
said last year, in order for us to really compete, we need two more All Stars.
Well, they got one.
Yeah, they got one.
So I mean, you know, that's. But anyways. Mike?
I had Horford as well.
Horford as well. Okay, yeah. So for all the reasons we mentioned. I actually have two. Jay Crowder, he's the obvious choice. I think the hate on him is undeserved. I just think the expectations are so much higher on him, which is stupid. Like, he's a role player. Like, he's fine for what he does, and he brings a lot of energy, and he plays hard, and blah, 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 but he's not a great player. And that's okay. Like, he doesn't have to be a great player. He's just like a rotational guy.
He's a good player on a good team. He's not a starter on a championship team.
He's a sixth or seventh man.
But now that he's gotten the minutes as a starter the last couple of years, I don't think he wants to go back.
And maybe he doesn't, but sorry, buddy, you don't have a fucking choice. Like, it just doesn't, you know, Hayward's playing
like
over you.
One.
And I think that Brown starts at the two. And so if Brown starts at the two and Hayward starts at the three.
Where is he?
He doesn't start. And so, to me, I just think he's a rotational guy, which is fine. And if he's willing to take that rotational spot, then great. And if not, then get the fuck
I'm
out.
I'm shocked they still have him.
Me too.
So, I'm shocked.
I wouldn't be surprised if they traded him. But here's the problem. He's a decent player, and he has a great contract. But the only teams that care about great contracts are good teams.
Yeah.
And so you're trading him as a rotational guy to a good team to make that team better. It's
right.
like... Why are you doing that? You know what I mean? You're not going to get any real assets for him, so it's like you might as well just hold on to him. So I think that's why he hasn't been traded yet. So the other one I had on there, who I just wanted to talk about briefly, was Isaiah Thomas. Kind of a... Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily get rid of him, but I think I have some serious concerns about his hip.
Yep.
I have some serious... And they just came out today and said he doesn't need surgery, but then I'm reading... Well, yeah, but those hip injuries, like, they could get worse. They have to be, like, monitored very closely.
Especially the way that he plays.
Right, and just because that he doesn't need surgery right now doesn't mean when it's progressing later on, if they look at it in 2 months, well, maybe all of a sudden he needs surgery because he hasn't progressed the way they wanted him to. So I'm nervous about the hip injury. I'm also wary that he's a free agent after this year, and so, like, we're going to have to pay him a shit ton of money, and I just don't know if he's worth it. I really don't. I mean,
he's not, but they're not going to max him.
Yeah, but
there's not really a market
saying,
for
back up the Brinks truck, right? And so the Celtics want to play him, and I think they want to make him the next guy, like the next Paul Pierce, where he's the face of the franchise. And but like, I don't know how much he's gonna want. Put it to that way. If they can do like a Kyle Lowry 3 for $100, I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
but like if you're giving him a 5-year deal, like
no,
I'm out.
No,
no,
I don't think that's gonna happen.
No, so
it's not like there's other teams that are gonna want him. I mean, there's not really a market for 5'9" point guards who were second round draft picks.
Yeah,
but you hit it with that hip. To me, that's more of a that's not like a broken wrist where you play. Right. It's one play. Right. That is a wear and tear, and I think that comes right after that Washington series where he got beat up in that was an intense series.
It was.
A lot of the games were blowouts, but that was a contested.
Mm-hmm.
That was an aggressive. Like those two teams really didn't like each other, and I think to see him get hurt coming out of that series was It's discouraging.
Right.
You want to you want to give a guy like that size $100 million.
Mm-hmm. I know.
I don't know.
Well, we'll see.
But they're stuck.
They got nothing to do, right? And they can't trade him really.
If he plays well this year, his price just goes up.
Right.
You just almost hope that he plays, his ass off
but
on the contract.
I think his
here.
Numbers will go down with Hayward there.
His points will. His points definitely will go down.
But
was he 29 points a game?
He's 29
year?
And a half.
I just wonder. I wonder what the team looks like though. So that's really the question, right? What
it's
going to
be a completely
like
different team
with Hayward there, and I think Brown. It looks like at least he's taking the next step, and if that happens, then okay, now we're looking at Jaylen Brown being good, and Tatum looks like he can perform. Although I think Tatum. Stevens plays it like a college team. Tatum's going to get the minutes that Brown got last year because he's a rookie.
I totally agree.
That's why Crowder fits.
So, right. And that is. And it's why Crowder fits because he's a rotational guy. And mm-hmm. So I'm okay with that. But, just temper the expectations on Crowder. He's a rotational guy. That's it. He's not any more than that. He's not an all-star. Don't try to make him an all-star. Don't hate him because he's not an all-star. Right. Whatever. He thinks he's the best player ever because he's a pro athlete. And that's what they're supposed to do. Right? And so, whatever. Jay, that's fine, bud. You're the best player ever in your own mind. We all know you're not, but we're not going to hate you for it.
So the Celtics under Stevens have won more games every single year, right?
Yeah.
So the question is, this year, did they go over 53?
Right.
Yes.
You say yes?
I think so.
I think so.
I think they're going to make a run at 60.
They made themselves significantly bigger.
I think they're not only are they bigger,
but
they're I think they're mentally a tougher team. You bring in Baines and you bring in Morris and you replace some of those guys like Zeller. You replace the Bradleys.
Amir Johnson.
You replace the Amir Johnson. You replace the Olynyk. Those guys were good.
Right.
But I thought that they really were not soft, but their biggest weakness was underneath the hoop.
Right.
Especially against the Cavs, because they just got totally exposed against the Cavs.
Yeah.
If they can rebound the ball,
this
team is going to shoot a ton of threes. They're going to hit a ton of threes. They've got young talent coming off the bench. They're probably going to have one of the deepest benches in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah,
they could be. I think they're going to get the one seed again, especially as the
Me
Cavs.
Me too, and
I think
Cleveland's going to be a four seed.
Oh, if Kyrie gets traded. Oh my lord! We didn't even touch on that.
What is going on?
What a fucking mess!
Did you see their press conference today?
Yeah,
no,
with
the new
owner Dan Gilbert and his new, I call him a puppet GM. Obviously, a puppet GM.
Yeah,
I mean, they were having the GM and the owner have a press conference, and the owner was going in over the microphone and answering some of the questions for the GM.
It was unbelievable.
He is an idiot.
He is an idiot.
He said Indiana could have gotten more for Paul George. I mean, he went off. The guy's a maniac. He's totally nuts. I mean, we saw it after LeBron left. He went off on LeBron.
Yeah, remember the letter he wrote?
He's just such a fucking clown. And so, fine, whatever. But I just think Kyrie's gone. And you replace him with D-Rose?
No.
Holy shit, dude.
Yeah,
we're going to fucking murder
Jose
that
Calderon.
Team in the regular
That team
season.
Won 51 games last year. I mean, I know they turned it on in the playoffs.
Right.
Yeah.
And they did. They turned it on in the playoffs.
At the same time.
Nasty, but
they had defensive problems at the end of that regular season.
They did. Yeah. Going to be interesting.
Who is in the Eastern Conference? I mean, the East is just
I think Toronto's good in Milwaukee.
Right, but everybody just left and went to the West. What the hell are they doing? It's like the absolute opposite of what I would have done. The West is nasty, so I'm going to leave the East, which is up for grabs, and go to the West?
Yeah.
What the hell are you doing?
You got to think.
What's making any sense?
Yeah, why is Carmelo trying to go to Houston?
Who the hell knows? Well, because he wants out of New York and
figures
that's his best bet to at least make a run. Which I understand. I can see that. But, he's going to go on a team with Harden?
Oh, they're going to be good, though.
I know, but Harden
and Chris
shoots
Paul.
The ball so much. I mean, oh, Jesus Christ.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll get past Golden
State. Well, what did Doc say when Paul left? Chris Paul left, and he's like, oh, yeah, well, it'll be a different offense. We'll have to pass more. That's what Doc Rivers said after they lost their point guard. It's just well, yeah, he's the point guard, but we'll pass more, so... anyways, all right, let's do Red Sox. Go, Mike.
David Price. See you later.
That's the one, right?
I had Price and Porcello combined $50 million for those two guys. And I said the thing earlier about how they're 10 games above 500 when Sale starts. Imagine if those two guys gave you what they were supposed to give you.
Right.
And the $50 million that we're paying them to.
Right.
This team would be on pace to win 105 games. They'd be nasty.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it solved the offensive problems.
No,
but
at least
these two guys have just been a nightmare. And you're paying them $30 and $20 million combined. And that is...
And Porcello won the Cy Young last year. A contested Cy Young by Mike. Mike doesn't think he won the Cy Young. But nevertheless, he did win the Cy Young. He was not as dominant as some people are. But, I mean, in between the Cy Young year was 2 years ago when Adam Jones nicknamed him Porcello. And he is now Porcello again. And it's like, look, and we were talking about it earlier. Like, he's scoreboard watching and he's trying to make sure that the Red Sox score runs for him. But, like... Man, is he sucked.
I think it's mental with him, too.
It is. It definitely
He seems to be, like, really agitated.
Yeah.
Really rattled. I mean, I think... I love... Sale's the best because he just goes out there and he just mows guys down. And
every
you can
game,
see
no
nothing
what.
Gets to him. You know, the best thing I heard with Sale is that he doesn't shake off his catchers.
Right.
He,
every
like,
single
pitch. He shook off, like, his catcher, like, three times in his career.
Yeah.
Because he's like, that's not my job. My job is to pitch whatever they say.
Right.
I love that.
Right.
I absolutely love that.
Awesome.
He goes out there and just throws whatever.
So he does.
I think Porcello and Price, too, they are just, it's all in their heads.
Right.
They're mental cases.
Yeah.
They're total mental cases.
That's true.
Just pitch every 5 days, shut your mouth, and just play.
Yeah. So, all right, so that's the Red Sox, Porcello and David Price. Both, one, doesn't matter. Get rid
Price,
of one of them.
Price needs to go
Price
right
is the
now.
One. He's the one that has to go.
He's got the player option after next year.
Mm-hmm. Right, so he's
which
gone.
Which you have to assume he's gone.
Right.
Which
I think
is
the
why
question
now
is,
the
is
the time to get
right.
rid of him.
Right, you're going to try and move him and try and get something in return.
Yeah.
And then Porcello's signed in through 2019.
Right, so he's not going.
So
which
he,
I'm
he's
fine
got
with.
Two more years.
I mean, you can...
The
he's
only
okay.
thing is they don't
he's not
have
an ace.
They
don't have
like,
anybody
they
else.
They don't
right.
have
that's
anybody
really
else.
The problem, right? Well, that's why if you can trade Price, if you can trade Price to say somebody like Oakland or somebody like Texas, and you can eat his contract, like I would trade him and then fucking eat his contract
no,
and then take someone back, right? That's what you're gonna have to do. You're gonna have to trade him and say, okay, we're gonna trade you Price and this guy, you know, this major league player and two minor leaguers. For Sonny Gray or Yu Darvish, and we're going to eat the contract. So you're going to be paying him pennies on the dollar. We're going to be paying most of his contract. You're just going to get this guy, and meanwhile, you're going to dump this guy that you want to get rid of anyways. You know, and so for the Red Sox, it would be the best thing. It would be the best thing possible for them to do. So what? Fucking pay him. I don't care. Like, just pay him. Just get the fuck out.
Pay him Pablo.
Right.
The problem
so
with the Red
him.
Sox. It's it, like management wise,
right? Oh,
you don't really know what decisions are made by who. You know, it's not like the Patriots or the Celtics or other teams. You know who's making the decisions. You know who's at the helm at all times. With the Red Sox,
we don't know.
I mean, a decision like Price, Dombrowski doesn't make that decision on his own,
right?
Henry, Henry's got the input. He's got the final say in a lot of these things.
And that's what we talked about last week. Is that Sherrington got fired last year because of Panda? And because of Lester.
But did he sign those guys?
Who turned... Well,
was
that and that's the thing, right?
Negotiations?
He
was
didn't.
It Larry Lucchino?
And that's really the issue, right? So it was a Werner decision to bring in Pablo, we think, because he wanted to sell Panda shit. And it was a fucking Lucchino thing to lowball John Lester. Now, meanwhile, you could have paid John Lester like $22 million a year
Porcello
and he would have stayed.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like you would have Lester instead of Porcello for the same amount of money that you had him for. It's just like... They fucked that up. And not only that, but if you go to him with a legitimate offer, then maybe he would have said, I don't love that, but here's what I'm looking for. And then you would have had some negotiation. You come in with $17 million a year, and he's like, go fucking pound sand. I'm out. You know, like, you'd fuck yourself, you know? And so again, he takes the blame for that because he was the GM. But like you said, who actually made those decisions? You know, did he actually make those decisions or not?
Seriously. Like, who makes... There's teams... Like, there's too many guys over there that no one really... I mean, Farrell has no power, clearly.
Right.
He's just... He's a sitting duck.
He's on his way out, too.
He's gone after the end of the season. I think the only way that he stays is if they win the World Series.
Or even if they get to the World Series.
They would have to go on a run.
Yeah.
It would have to be a run. I think if they make the World Series... Yeah, if they win the pennant, then they'll stay. I think that really is his only...
Yeah.
His only way
which isn't going to happen.
Well,
unless unless Price somehow finds it and Porcello somehow finds it.
Too. These guys have to start hitting.
Well, that's true. But, I mean, if you can roll out with your 1, 2, 3, 4, if you can roll out Sale, who's dominant, and Price, who can somehow pull his head out of his ass in the playoffs, which I don't know why he can't.
It's not going to happen.
And Porcello, who can somehow pull his head out of his ass in the playoffs, and then
I could see Porcello.
But how crazy is this, dude? You could be trying to pitch around David Price, your $30 million a year pitcher. You're like, okay, well, we win one game, then we start Porcello in game two, so we win those two games, and then we lose game three, which is Price, and then we start Rodriguez game four.
Last year, Clay Buchholz started game three.
Right, but I mean, you would have thought that your $30 million guy would have been your number one starter in the playoffs.
Well, obviously, your Sale's your number one guy right now, starting game two.
Porcello.
100%. Porcello starting game two?
Yeah, because he's better than Price. Unless Price totally turns it around in the rest of the year, Porcello has to start second game.
What about Pomeranz? He's been.
No, you know what? Maybe you're right.
They're second best.
So maybe Pomeranz is done.
It's a good call.
So maybe you move Price to game four, and you put Pomeranz in game two, Porcello in game three, and Price in game four, and you can say that you just want to do it because you're mixing it up with left, right, left. Whatever.
See, to be honest, I'm putting Price at home. I think some of his best games is when he's. I really think if you put him on the road. You can't do this the whole playoffs.
But isn't Pomeranz the same thing, though?
Well, I just think Price on the road, like with the towels waving, in Cleveland. What's the saying? He's like a duck. What is he? He's a duck. On above the water, you know, everything's all good, but below the water, everything's going crazy.
Right.
He melts. Absolutely melts. You're going to throw him on the road like in Cleveland, he's going to get shellacked.
Yeah.
Stuff like this doesn't happen with other teams.
No.
It's all the time with the Red Sox. This whole decade, shit like this has been happening. And you look at the Yankees, right? Girardi's been there 10 years almost.
Right.
And you never hear any.
Well, you
any
know who's in charge over there?
Cashman.
You know, Cashman's, you know, they've got their manager, their general manager, and then they've got the Steinbrenners.
Mm-hmm.
Like over here, you have Sam Kennedy. What is he doing?
Is he just PR? Right, basically.
Is he just the PR man?
Lucchino's
gone.
Yep.
The manager has no power.
No, it's
Dombrowski, half of Dombrowski's decisions have to be signed off by Warner. Not Warner. Warner sucks. Warner's the worst.
Yeah.
But Henry.
Yeah.
Warner's. Right. We could go all night. We could do a whole podcast of me shitting on Nesson.
Oh,
I could go off about that propaganda machine.
No kidding. So, all right. So, listen, let's. We're running over here, so I don't care if we're running over, to be totally honest with you.
It's our podcast.
We're having some good talk.
We had Jose Canseco.
That's very true. Holy fuck, dude. I still can't believe the answer. All right, so I'm going to go to, we're going to the Bruins. I will start. I'm going with Tuukka. Tuukka effing Rask, dude.
How many years does he have left? Like 4 years?
He's just... I think he's one of the most overrated players in the league, to be totally honest with you.
Signed through 2021.
Wow.
At $7 million a year, and something happened with the Canadian economy like 2-3 years ago, and the cap in the NHL hasn't moved above $72 million.
Anything?
their cap has been all these other teams. The NBA is going crazy. Yeah. NFL, all the caps going up. The NHL, that cap has been stuck at $70 million for 2 or 3 years, and you've got Rask making. What, more than any goalie in the league, other than one or two goalies?
Yeah, true. So
He's average.
Well, and now look,
can't win in Montreal.
So this is the interesting thing, right? You start looking at his numbers, his goals against average, and his save percentage. His goals, save percentage maybe dropped a little bit, but his goals against average, 2.23, 2.56, 2.3, 2.04, 2.0. That's going all the way back to 2012. And so you start looking at it and say, oh my God, that's pretty good. He had 8 shutouts last year. He's pretty good. Well, interesting. I actually took a look. I took a little bit of more of a deep dive here on hockeyreference.com. They have an interesting stat called goals against percentage. So, very simple. It's the percent of goals allowed relative to the league goals allowed. So, in other words, if the percentage is 100, you're exactly average. If the percentage is 0... that means that you've stopped every shot that you've faced, right? And so then in between is where you are. So it's so you want to be lower, which means that you're allowing less than the average, okay? So at the beginning of his career, he was pretty good. 78%. right? Then 94, but then 82, 81, 81, 81 for 3 years there. So that was 11, 12, and 13. At 11, he was the backup, obviously, but even still. So you start saying, okay, maybe he's pretty good. 2014, 2015, 91. Okay, so they actually tell you how many goals, they project how many goals he saved for the Bruins, other than an average goalie. So if you had an average goalie, you had Tuukka instead, he saved you 15.65 goals. So because you had Tuukka, over the course of the season, he saved you 15.5 goals. So if you'd had an average goalie in there, he saves you 15.5. He allows 15.5 more goals. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Last 2 years, 99% and 98%. In 15-16, the goals that a regular average goalie, that he saved more than what the regular average goalie was 0.85. Wow. He was a 100% average goalie. 100% average goalie. Literally saved one more goal over the course of the entire season. This past year, that number was 2.33. And so, he's an average goalie. Making $7 million a year.
See, that's the problem. The problem is the cap number.
That's really it. Because if he was just the guy, like, whatever, no big deal.
You're
like,
crunched for numbers underneath the cap.
Right.
Right? You can't really afford, you really need more offense, I think. You need another score.
Right.
Right? You're paying $7 million to your goalie. And look at the last couple champions. Pittsburgh. Their goalie's not making $7
million
a year.
No. Not even making $1 million.
They have their money spent in different areas. It's like the Patriots with running backs. They never really spend. They spend below average with running backs. I think the problem with the Bruins is they have too much money allocated to Rask. And that's a big problem. Especially with a cap that is so small and you've got one guy that's taken up 10-15% of the cap.
Well, where they really, really screwed up is when they traded Lucic and got Martin Jones back.
Right.
And then they flipped Martin Jones. Stupid. Because they should have traded Tuukka instead. And you really crushed two things at once. Because you took him from L.A. and then traded Jones to San Jose, who L.A. is like rivals with San Jose. So now L.A. is like, well, fuck you. We're not doing any more deals than you. Right. You just traded this guy who we like a lot to our rival.
Yeah.
And now he's starting in one of the best goalies in the league. So what the hell? Like, go screw yourself. And you traded a goalie who was cheap and really good and kept the goalie that's expensive and mediocre. Right. It's just like, what the hell are you doing? You know, it just, and it's just so frustrating. And look, you can look at him on the ice and say he's this and say he's that and say, but the numbers don't lie. The numbers don't lie. The last 2 years, he's an average goalie. He's fine. He's okay. But for $7 million a year, you cannot have that.
He's never won a big game.
No. And that's,
sure, he's won series clinchers and whatnot.
Well, dude, just, from 2010 to 2011, how much did the Bruins really change from 2010 to 2011? Did they add a ton of people? Now, I know they added Recchi, but, like, did they add a ton of other players? No, I mean, they added Sagan, right? But, like, I mean, at least on the big club, right?
Right.
But, like, did they really add a ton of players? No. What they did was take out Tuukka and put in Tim Thomas. And they were up 3-0 and then lost to Philadelphia. And then the next year, they won the Stanley Cup.
See, he's another guy, Rask. So, I feel like he's somewhat, he's just soft.
Oh,
I feel like
he's
another one that's sort of mentally just is, you know, he gets too high, too low. I think he's another one that just, he's all over the map.
Right.
He's another mental case.
So, anyways, what do you got? Who do you have? Was it Rask for you as well? Or?
Yeah, I had Rask. Okay. I had Rask. I also had Chara.
I had Chara.
But Chara is actually his cap hit. I think this is his last year.
It is his last year.
I mean, I would have traded him 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, I would have too.
For sure.
You can't get anything for him now.
Yeah,
because people would just be getting a rental.
Right.
And shouldn't have the C. I don't think he ever should have had the C.
No, he probably shouldn't.
Bergeron should have been captain.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't shifted it off
yet. One guy who's interesting is Krejci. I could see Krejci.
Oh, yeah.
I'm ready for Krejci to be out of here, man.
He's one of those guys, when he's going, so are the Bruins.
Like, right.
He's just one of those guys, you know, 2011
right?
and 2013, he led the league in points in the playoffs.
Right.
That was when he and who were they with? Still at Horton, right?
Horton and Lucic.
That was a mean first line.
That was a nasty team, yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so we'll see. But so there's that. Okay, so that's the Bruins. Patriots. Go, Evan.
Well, I had nobody, but I was told I had to have someone. I'm trying to think of the... Mine would have been LeGarrette Blount, but he's gone. I'd say Ninkovich is probably the one. I think that he really did not look good in that Super Bowl. He seemed like he was slow. I mean, he got beat on one of those touchdowns on the side where he just got burnt.
Yeah. The last one, 28
the second, right, the one in the third quarter, he just got absolutely burnt.
Yeah. You know what I had thought? I actually had thought he was coming from the opposite side because I got into some guy on Twitter posted that he got smoked, and I was like, no, he was on the other side. Like, he clearly must have. And then I watched it again, and I was like, oh no, he wasn't. He was on that side. He got beat that bad. Right. It was ugly. So I mean, the problem is, and I like that because the problem is they have a lot of depth at D line, and so, you know, they could replace him there at D-line, and he's not a great linebacker. And so you don't really want to play a linebacker. You have the guys at the end, so, like, he would be the guy. I love him in the locker room,
but that's it. I was just about to say that. Right. He is, like, your – I don't know if he's your Teddy Bruschi nowadays, but he is sort of – he's like a rock.
Yeah.
He is – you know, and that's why I think you almost keep him around. But I don't know what he makes, but –
I don't think it's high.
The other one I would say, just off the top of my head, what's his name? Cypress Jones. The dude that just couldn't catch a punt last year. Almost single-handedly cost them two or three games where he just...
He doesn't count. He blows. Although, supposedly, he's going to be a rotational player this year.
I'd be shocked. Although, he's from Alabama, isn't he?
He was from Alabama. However, during OTAs, wet weather caught all the punts. So, I mean, turn the corner.
That's good. Let's see. No, seriously, though. Like, you want to talk serious? They need a real punt returner because you keep throwing Edelman out there and Amendola out there.
Yeah. You can't.
That is really where they get banged up on those punts. Obviously, they're fantastic.
Dude, I might send Edelman back there and just say, just fucking fair catch it. We just got to have someone catch the damn ball.
Well, that's what happened last year.
You know?
They just said, we just need someone to go out there and catch the ball.
I mean, look what happened 2 years ago in 15 when Harper fumbled those two punts just fumbled the one punt against Denver. That changed the whole game.
Right.
They were going to win that game and he fumbles the punt and that was it. And so it's just like, sometimes you just need the guy to catch the
ball. Those are the types of plays that cost you games because they're huge swings of momentum.
Right.
You know, especially on the road.
They're playing in Denver again for the third straight year this year, but nevertheless.
They don't have a quarterback.
I know. Basically. Who knows? The defense is good, but who knows? Mike, what do you got?
Rob Gronkowski.
No.
Get him out of here.
What?
Get him out of here. He's not even going to play. He's always hurt. No. Let's retire and go to WWE.
Rob Gronkowski. Hot take alert.
He's more of the team mascot than he is a tight end now.
He sort of is. I would say, I think if he was going to get traded, I think it's going to be similar to like the Randy Moss trade back in 2010 where, you know, that team was loaded with weapons.
Yeah.
Right.
And they almost were just like, you know, we don't really have much of a role for Randy Moss on that team. Because if you remember 2010, those first couple games, this is when they both brought in Hernandez, Gronkowski, Welker, Randy Moss. That 2010 starting lineup might be like the greatest.
Yeah, it was nasty.
That might be the greatest like wide receiver core of all time. That was a good team. Very young team.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think you could see something like that of a trade.
Right.
But I don't.
The problem is. I mean, I understand it, and I
depends on what the return would be.
But like, he's just so good. He's so soft. Well,
like,
that's really the problem.
The guy's so big, and you know, he doesn't even get touched, and he still breaks his
better
back.
That's the thing.
He's better than your tight end,
Jordan Reed.
Yeah,
no, he's not.
Dude, Jordan Reed's hurt way more than Gronk.
I don't know about that.
Anyways, okay.
But
they won without him.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. They won a Super Bowl without him, and they almost won another one without him pretty much against the Giants, even though he played in that, but he was more of a decoy.
He really was a decoy in that game. If he plays that game, they win easily.
Yeah.
So that's the hard thing, you know?
Almost caught that Hail Mary, though.
Oh, my Lord. I still say if he was able to run, he would have caught it on the deflection.
If he was able to run that game, that's not a close game.
Right.
Yeah. We don't want to get into it. We can go till 2 a.m. talking about this.
So I had Ninkovich. I'm also, this is going to be really hard for me to do, but I'm also going to, I think if we're talking about getting rid of a starter on every team, I can't get the words out.
Remember, we're cutting it close on time. So.
You have to talk about Brady. I think you have to because he's 40 years old. I mean, Father Time is Father Time. I mean, Father Time is Father Time. It's just the way it is, right? I mean, like, you know, and not only that, but how many starters in the league, across the entire league at every single position, can you say that the guy waiting behind him could be the next guy? Right? Not just like the next guy who can start and play okay, like, could be the next guy. And the Patriots really believe that. I mean, I don't know. I guess maybe you could trade Brady, although I don't know how, I could do that. I mean, I said before, I was saying to you guys before, I feel like trading Brady would be like selling the Mona Lisa. Like, you could never get the actual value. You just couldn't. You could never replace Tom Brady with anything. I don't care what it is. I don't care when you get back in return. You just can't replace Tom Brady. However, if the Patriots really feel that Jimmy G is the guy, then I guess you kind of have no choice, right? Because here's the thing. After this season, whether you make a decision now, after the season, you have to decide. Because you're going to franchise Jimmy G, and then what are you going to do? Pay Brady all that money, and then pay Jimmy G $20-something million? Jimmy G's going to make more money than Brady next year? Hell no. You can't do that. So that means one of them has to go. So either it's going to be Brady or it's going to be Jimmy, unless Brady retires,
which I think he is.
But he could. If he wins number six,
I think
just
the only way he retires is if they go 19-0. If he goes 19-0, he might retire. But that's the thing. The question is, because he signed through next year, I believe, right?
He signed.
End of next season?
Is it?
I think it's a year after.
I think it's
a year after.
Yeah. I believe so.
But the question is, he's Garoppolo, because Garoppolo's he's at the end of this year.
Yeah.
Correct.
So you can franchise him.
Right.
So then technically you'd have to make the decision next year, no?
Well,
or do you when
is kind
this
kind of
well? No, see, here's the thing, right? The thing is this: is that you have team control for this year,
right?
Next year, you don't. Okay, here's what I'm trying to say. Last year, it was like, okay, he's going to be a free agent at the end of this upcoming year, which is true, except they can franchise him, okay? And then, but next year, you're going to say, well, then he's going to be a free agent at the end of next year, right? And you could say, well, they could franchise him again, technically, but they're probably not going to franchise him twice in a row. Nobody would ever franchise a quarterback 2 years in a row. It would never happen in the NFL. Never mind.
What do you mean? So anyways, does everyone do that?
Oh, right. I forgot.
So, Kirk Cousins.
Kurt just got franchised for the second year in a row. But,
Kirk, remember, did you see the GM?
Kurt,
yeah
Kurt
couldn't
Cousins.
Even pronounce his idiot, quarterback's dude. Name.
He called him.
He called him Kirk.
No, he called him Kurt. His name is Kirk.
He called him Kurt.
Kurt.
Yeah, that's awesome.
An idiot.
He has an accent.
Oh, yeah, that's it, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But anyways, so the decision has to be made at the end of this year, because if you franchise him, he's signed through next year, but then he's a free agent at the end of the year. So you only have you know he'll be signed for next year, but then he won't be signed for the year after that. So it's like you have to kind of make a decision next year. And so the question is, what decision do you make? Who do you decide? I still think it's Brady, in my opinion.
Keep or stay? I mean,
I think Brady stays. I think Brady stays and you trade Jimmy. That's my opinion. Yes. And here's the reason why. Because if Brady has 3 years left of this level, here's the thing, right? You can say Jimmy this and Jimmy that and Jimmy this and Jimmy. I'm concerned about his injury history, number one. I'm concerned about him playing through injuries, number two. One of the best abilities is availability. That's not that you've ever heard that one before, but like, really, I mean, Brady doesn't miss games unless he tears his ACL. Like, that's the fact. You know, he's never missed a game other than him tearing his ACL, right? And he obviously sat out the Bills game in 2014, but I mean, he sat out because they were like, we don't need him to play. Actually, no, he started that game, didn't he?
No, he didn't play the second half.
The one...
Right. He started, but then he came up.
We lost that game.
Right.
Yeah.
Did he start that game?
Yeah, he started that game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Garoppolo played the second half.
So, okay. So, anyways, but the point is that he plays through everything. And so, to me, I'm not going to trade. If I know Brady's going to be this good for 2 years after this year, I don't trade that for Jimmy G in the future. Not knowing what's going
to
happen.
You know how hard it is to find a quarterback that you think can be the guy?
Well, right.
That's the thing.
And that's the problem. That's the problem. So we'll see. I mean, that's interesting. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
My prediction is that they win it this year, or they'll make a run this year, obviously.
Right.
I think the question is, they'll probably franchise Garoppolo, go with Brady again next year. And I think they're trying to, like, ride the tide out with Brady. But if I'm them, I honestly would think about either next year or the year after, trading him and just trying to... If you're going
to
go with Garoppolo, you trade Brady.
You have to get
draft picks to just sort of replenish on the fly.
Well, here's the problem is that Jimmy G's like... He's 26.
Right.
So, I mean, like, if you know, after the season, he'll be 27. Then if Brady plays another year, he'll be 28. It's like now he's not starting in the NFL until he's 28 years old. Like, you know,
people point to the same thing with Rodgers and Favre, but Rodgers was only – when Rodgers took over, he was 25. Or 20. Right. Like, he didn't take over at 27, 28. Right. He took over at 24, 25.
That's what I'm concerned about. So we'll see. The other thing I am concerned about, and one thing I'm worried about, is that the Patriots, if they had to get rid of a starter, they're looking at Malcolm Butler. And I'm nervous as all hell
right now
that Malcolm Butler is going to be.
Oh, I want him. I want him and Gilmore.
Well, absolutely,
on the same team.
But here's the question:
win it this
When's the last time Belichick let a legit star player or a really good player
walk
for nothing? It's never happened.
Would they be inclined to get any compensation if he left next year? Like, if it,
well, they would get they'd get a comp pick, third round comp pick. And that's it. Unless you can franchise him. But see, this is the thing, and I was actually talking to Mike Reese one time. I met Mike Reese once, and we were just chatting about this, and I said, you know, why not trade Garoppolo this offseason, then you can franchise and trade Butler next season if you really don't want to sign him? And he said, well, you could do that, except nobody wants to pay Butler at that franchise tag.
Right.
And so if you franchise Butler, nobody's going to take him from you.
I'm taking the risk. Just 100%. Like with Hightower last year. You know, everyone was talking about how they're not going to be able to re-sign Hightower. Right. And Hightower went out and he didn't get anything. He came back and he signed for, what, 10 a year?
Right.
If my opinion, yeah, you're going to try and, I'd say let him walk.
Right.
See, because I think trading him now, if you were to get a second round pick or a first round pick, right. I'd
Does
rather.
Does you no good.
No.
Does you no good.
Win this year.
Right.
You know, you've got an unbelievable chance this year to win it all.
Right.
Go for it again. Screw the second or,
well,
or
that's really,
extra pick.
Right.
I think they're better with him on the field this year.
Yeah.
I know they love to think 2-3 years down the road, but I think he is a huge part of this team.
Right.
In that defense. Huge part of that defense and that clubhouse.
Yeah.
Well, not clubhouse. Locker
well,
room.
Right, but yeah, exactly. All right, so that's it. That's all we got. So we have two quick things here. We got
how come
our...
no one said Steven Gostkowski?
Ghost. That's a great one.
Yeah, that's a good point. They did bring in that YouTube kicker. YouTube trick shot kicker. So Ghost can be the
no,
guy.
Seriously,
I mean,
did he miss one in every single playoff game last year? He missed one in the Super Bowl.
He missed an extra point in the Super Bowl. Did he miss a? I don't think he missed one in the Pittsburgh game.
He's
rattled.
Shaky
last
I
think
year.
He missed 5 extra points last year. They said
that Ooh, is,
which is a lot. Which is a lot. But I mean, I don't know. He's still
one of the highest paid kickers in the league too.
Yeah, but he's a great kicker, but. It's tough. Can you imagine that right now, I would still take Adam Vinatieri over him?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would too.
And Adam's like 42 years old, and he's still kicking. It's just the guy's unbelievable.
We could talk about that missed extra point in Denver.
How it
probably cost them.
We don't have another
because they would have beat Carolina in the Super Bowl.
They would have smoked Carolina.
We could go on forever, but
yeah. So we're gonna do a Patriots.
You just go preview. Year by year,
right? We're gonna do
review.
A Patriots preview
yeah,
and talk about different things. We're gonna do a deep, Patriots dive, but not yet. All right, so we're gonna move on to this week in sports history. This week in sports history today, July 26, 1933, Joe DiMaggio ended a 61 game hitting streak. And you're thinking, well, wait a second, that's not right because his actual hitting
streak
was...
You're thinking of Roger Maris. He hit 61 home runs.
Oh, but you know what? This 61-game hitting streak was in the minor leagues in 1933.
Really?
So,
what a psycho.
Are you serious?
How ridiculous is that, dude? So he has the longest one in major league history, and he has the longest one in minor league history in 61 games.
DiMaggio.
Same guy. Joe DiMaggio. Unbelievable.
Married to
Marilyn Monroe.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Is that before or after the president? That was before.
Before?
It was
50s,
before,
right? Kennedy
before
was...
Kennedy was president.
Before
yeah.
Kennedy.
Yeah.
So maybe they were doing it already. I don't know. So anyways, the other one I had was tomorrow, July 27th, 1988. Tommy John, famous for the elbow surgery, committed 3 errors on the same play. Still a record in Major League Baseball, as a matter of fact. But here's the crazy part. He had Tommy John surgery in 1974. So this is 14 years after Tommy John surgery. He was pretty young then, and I think he's like 7th all-time in wins.
Really?
So he was a really good pitcher for a long time and had that revolutionary surgery. Obviously, it's named after him in 1974 and then pitched for, I think his last year was in 89. So he pitched 15 years after the surgery. Unbelievable. So,
quick little fact on Tommy John.
Yes.
His dentist was Mark McGwire's dad, and Mark McGwire hit his first home run off of him.
What?
Mm-hmm.
That's wild. That's a hell of a stat.
That is a great stat.
That's a hell of a stat. Listen, we're gonna have to do a trivia night soon.
Yeah.
We didn't look into it yet. We are gonna do one.
We already have a name. So that's after the battle.
We do already have a name.
Crush trivia.
Well, right? That's what I'm thinking. So we'll have to do trivia somewhere in the Braintree area. We'll figure out a time when everyone's
available.
You've
got more of like the I don't know, pop culture wise.
This guy. This guy is just stupid. Yeah. It's just stupid how much he knows. It's ridiculous. So we would dominate in trivia. Dominate everybody in trivia. We probably wouldn't get a question.
I heard of teams. I've heard of a couple things someone said. I've heard of cornhole teams. These people go around to cornhole.
It was on ESPN last week.
Right, and they make like 40, 50 grand. Yeah. But some people go to like restaurants and bars. And trivia. There's trivia teams where these people like go around and they go for that $100 gift card or whatever it was.
There's a lot should of be our like, that, yeah.
like leagues almost.
Yeah. All right, so that will be our night. And listen, here's the deal: when we do it, if you come and you mention the podcast, first drinks on us.
Yeah, that's
so.
Good,
if you come, so we'll let you know when it's going to be. We don't know yet. Probably won't be next week. Maybe the week after. Before the summer ends, and I have to go back to teaching and school and early nights and all that. But anyways,
bedtimes.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. So, okay, so that's that for the week. This week in sports history. The Warrior one to watch, really simple, past training camp, opens up tomorrow morning. Just so you know, it's July 27th to the 30th, starting at 9:15 a.m. at the stadium. So,
you going?
Hell yeah, I'm going. I won't be there tomorrow. We're going to the Children's Museum tomorrow, so I will not be there tomorrow. But I will be there at some point this weekend.
I've never been. I've always wanted to go down. But like, I feel like it's like 20,000 people down
there's
there, right?
There's a shitload of people down there. And this year's going to be more. It's like every year they break records.
Right.
And the best ones to go
this
to...
This year, there's going to be a ton of
people. Oh, yeah. And the best ones to go to are the joint practices, because then they're actually playing against other people. It's awesome. So, I mean, dude, I used to go back when it was in Rhode Island.
Yeah, I went there.
Used to be at Bentley. No.
Smithfield.
Not Bentley. Was it Bentley? No, it was Bentley. Was
no,
it
Bentley's Waltham.
Not Bentley, idiot. It was, who the frig was it, dude?
Roger Williams.
No. It was in my... I went to Assumption. It was in my league. And I remember Bryant. That's what it was. So it was in Bryant, and I have an autograph from Ty Law, where he signed first day of training camp. I got it, and he signed it his college number to his pro number. And I was literally walking next to him as he was walking to practice. Like, it was just wide open. They were like, whatever, dude. There was nobody there.
Different time.
And it was unbelievable. So yeah, that was back in the day, dude. I got autographs from a ton of the guys afterwards. I remember going up to Bruce Armstrong, like sitting in his car. And he, like, took up the whole freaking thing of the Jeep. And I was like, hey, Bruce, can I get your autograph? And he's like, not now, kid. He's, like, struggling to tie his shoes. So, you know, it was a mess. But anyways, that's it. That's all we got for today.
And now, Warrior won the watch, John Jones and Daniel Cormier on Saturday.
Saturday night.
Yep.
John Bones Jones going to pound somebody's face in. So that's interesting.
I don't know. It's a rematch.
Not. Well, I think he said
what's he going
to
do after?
I saw one quote. I saw one quote from that where he said to him, Bone Jones said to him, man, you look like a crackhead in that suit. And the guy goes, well, I might look like a crackhead in the suit, but I'm not an actual crackhead in the suit. So, you know.
Yeah, they hate each other.
Yes, they
There's
do.
Legitimate hate with those two.
So that will be a good fight. Yes, it will be. So anyways, that's it. That's all we got. And we will see you next week. Thanks to Evan for being on the podcast. Yep. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
And we'll be giving you some updates here and there. You may not necessarily hear him on the podcast as much as you'll see him on Twitter. We'll be tweeting out some things about him. Hopefully he'll be back as well. And like I said, he'll be there. He'll be there at
week
our,
one, best bet, Patriots 6.5.
6.5 right
that's
now?
That's free money.
Oh, they're going to destroy the Chiefs that week.
That's a lock.
Okay. All right. I like that.
And a big thank you to Jose Canseco for appearing.
I can't believe it. Jose Canseco, first appearance on the podcast. Unbelievable. So, all right, so that's it. And we'll play you out with some MDOT.